to paraphrase Lady Macbeth, by the pricking of my thumbs, someone evil this way comes. Hi, I'm Rings Master, and you are listening to Fire Imperishable. Here we travel through the Lord of the Rings chapter by chapter. However, in this Maiden episode, we will be looking at how evil entered into Middle-earth and what role the original evil plays in the Lord of the Rings, if it plays any role at all. When my dad read The Lord of the Rings to his two sons, none of us knew anything about the story and its background. We knew not about the mountains of manuscripts, the cauldron chock-a-block with stories, or the rich tapestry of history that all lay behind Tolkien's masterpiece. It was the early 70s, and very few people knew about any of that, let alone Tolkien's glorious obsession and a seemingly never-ending creative genius. As to the beginning of evil in Middle-earth, Tolkien wrote this: just as Sauron concentrated his power in the One Ring, Morgoth dispersed his power into every matter of Arda. Thus, the whole of Middle-earth was Morgoth's ring. I found that in Tolkien Gateway. That is one of the many wikis that do honor to J.R.R. Tolkien. Now, it seems to me clear that Morgoth's power, of course, was wickedness and evil. I believe it was founded on hatred and not pride. I also have come to the opinion that the First Age, which of course Morgoth dominated, is Tolkien's creative or imaginative rendering of what would happen if Morgoth knew of Milton's most famous line, "It is better to reign in hell than rule in heaven." It seems certain that Morgoth went about turning Arda into at least a hellscape, if not into hell. On two separate occasions, he did away with, he destroyed the only source of light on Middle-earth. Both were created by some of the Varda. And he was an expert lies and spreading lies. The name the Father of Lies, one of the many names for Satan, comes to mind when it comes to Morgoth. Not only did he spread lies, he also, of course, deceived, coerced, and otherwise spread all kinds of ruinous wickedness among people. Much of his intent was to keep families whom he feared for their powers or prowess at bay by dividing. He was a great divider and conqueror indeed. What does all this have to do with The Lord of the Rings? Much. Morgoth's evil, dispersed as it was, quote, into the very matter of Arda, end quote, remained in Middle-earth after his defeat and expulsion from Arda. Still, his evil abided like the background radiation from the Big Bang. Like gravity is everywhere, so too was his wickedness. It's pervasive, and there's nowhere one can hide, nowhere one can run to get away from it. Of course, Sauron is evil. His ring is powerful. However, I think at least a good portion of the evil that the characters in The Lord of the Rings face is what's left over of Morgoth's evil. Sauron would be aware of it. After all, he knew Morgoth personally. They were somewhat of the same kindred. Both were created from the mind of Iluvatar, the one, the penultimate creator. And so it is that I believe Sauron was able to use that power as well as his own to make it that much more difficult for the characters of Middle-earth. How the characters relate to evil and fight it goes a long way to the morals and ethics of the story. Samwise is sure that Sméagol is not to be trusted, will never turn over a new leaf. This in spite of Frodo's observing that both he and Sam might have been left in the dead marshes, abandoned by Sméagol. There is one other feature that runs throughout Lord of the Rings that I believe is very important and will be highlighted in these episodes, and that is Perilous Realm. Yes, intentionally I dropped the article "the" from Perilous Realm. Think of a continuum. On one end is death, on the other is life. Zombies are on the side closer to death, and I think Perilous Realm is on the closer side to life. It is imbued with a force or drive, call it magic, and that magic acts upon the people who live in Perilous Realm and those who visit, if they are open to it. Not all are open to Perilous Realm and its strengths. Take, for instance, Boromir. He didn't seem open to much of anything in Lothlórien. The penultimate example within Lord of the Rings of Perilous Realm. Not everybody understands Perilous Realm. In fact, often it is much misunderstood. And we will see this in the next episode, which will cover a long-expected party, the Lord of the Rings first chapter. We will catch a glimpse of a conversation between three hobbits. I consider them rustics. Tolkien doesn't refer to them as rustics. I think, though, that it's safe enough to say that Old Noakes, Daddy Twofoot, and Hamfast Gamgee are definitely rustics. They will be pontificating on the subject of Perilous Realm, though they won't know they are. And we will see this and go into more detail about that in the next episode. Thank you for spending time with me, and I hope you enjoyed Tolkien, Middle-earth, and Evil. If you have questions about any of the ideas, you will find a blog that you can comment on that is associated with this episode. In fact, every episode will have their own separate blog, and you can find me just about anywhere you find your favorite podcast. You can also check on Facebook or YouTube. Until next time, may the Nimrodil give you comfort and solace and swiftly bring you to Lothlórien.